All right, let's dive right in. We're looking at something pretty unsettling today. These audio tapes found at Alo Creek Sanatorium.
Yeah, back in 73, right? During some renovations, workers stumbled upon them.
Exactly, and they were just labeled maintenance, which sounds totally normal until you listen.
That's the thing. It's just one voice on these tapes. Daniel Grover, he was the building's caretaker.
And the recordings, well, they document something happening to him. We need to try and figure out, was this Grover losing his grip on reality, or did he actually run into something paranormal within those walls?
It's a tough question. And what really hits you first with these tapes, right? It's just how alone he sounds, just his voice in this huge, empty, decaying place.
Totally isolated.
And you can track the change in him through the recordings. It starts with this vague sort of unease, and then it spirals. It really makes you question perception, especially in a place like that.
But it also feels like maybe something else was there with him, something getting in.
Exactly. Which brings us to the first concrete things he mentions, the whispers.
Right. He says he hears voices in empty rooms, not just noise, but actual phrases, things like wake us up.
And it's dark here.
Yeah.
Which is immediately creepy, you know?
Definitely. What do you make of those first phrases, wake us up?
Well, it's so ambiguous, isn't it? Is it a plea for help or maybe like an instruction? And the us, that's key. It suggests more than one presence, a group maybe.
A group that's sleeping?
Yeah.
Dormant?
Something like that. Stuck, perhaps. And it's dark here. I mean, it sounds simple, but coming from voices with no bodies, it suggests they know their state, their surroundings. It's unsettling.
Yeah, like a consciousness trapped in the dark. It's a disturbing thought. Okay, so from whispers, it moves to something visual, doesn't it?
It does. He starts reporting seeing shadowy figures moving down the corridors.
Okay, now instinctively you think, okay, maybe it's tricks of light. He's tired, stressed, alone in this creepy old building.
Standard explanations, hallucinations maybe, pareidolia, seeing patterns in randomness.
But does anything he says about them make you pause, make you think it might be more?
Well, it's the persistence, I think. He doesn't just mention it once. He describes it happening repeatedly. These aren't just flickers in the corner of his eye, or so he claims.
He describes them moving with purpose.
That seems to be the implication. Again, it's his perception, but the consistency is notable. It makes you wonder if it's tied to the place itself, like echoes of people who were there before.
Manifesting visually. And then Clara appears, or at least he starts talking about Clara.
Ah, yes, Clara. This is a big shift. He repeatedly says he sees her, a nurse, he calls her.
A nurse from previous recordings, he says.
Which is weird because we don't have those recordings.
Exactly. It just adds another layer of mystery.
Yeah.
Who was she? Why does he seem to assume she's a known quantity?
And she's not interacting, right? Just watching.
Staring at him.
Yeah.
From down the corridor. Silent. It turns the general creepiness into something focused. Something personal, almost.
Yeah, like she's specifically observing him. What do you think her role is in all this? Yeah. Symbolically or maybe literally? It's hard to say for sure. She could represent the sanatorium's past, its history of care, and likely suffering. Her silence is powerful. Maybe she's a guardian, or a warning, or maybe something holding on to the place.
Holding on to him.
That's a chilling possibility, especially given where the recordings go next.
Yeah, because his state seems to deteriorate quite rapidly around this point. His speech changes.
It really does. He moves away from describing events coherently, anyway. It becomes more fragmented, disconnected phrases.
Like that line, they see me even when I close my eyes. That one really sticks with you.
Oh, absolutely. That suggests the boundary between outside and inside has just completely dissolved for him. There's no escape, not even within his own mind.
It feels like a breakdown, definitely. The paranoia, the fear.
It could absolutely be a psychological collapse triggered by the environment and the isolation. That's the rational explanation. But if you entertain the other possibility, it suggests the presence, whatever it is, has become incredibly invasive. It's not just out there anymore. It's in there with him, targeting him directly.
Which leads us to that final awful recording.
Yeah. It's barely audible, almost a whisper.
He says, she doesn't want me to leave.
Followed by, well, it sounds like no one leaves without paying.
And the she. It has to be Clara, right? Given everything.
It feels almost certain that whisper turns her from a passive observer into an active jailer, almost. It implies she's holding him there.
Captive.
Yeah.
And no one leaves without paying. What kind of payment?
That's the terrifying question. Is it life? Is it service? Is it becoming part of whatever us was whispering earlier, it suggests a terrible price for being there, for maybe knowing too much.
And then, after the whispers, just footsteps.
Slow footsteps. Walking away, it sounds like, and then nothing. Silence. The recording just ends.
He's gone. The tape stopped. But that's not quite the end of the story, is it? There's what they found later.
Right. The aftermath, which is just as bizarre and unsettling. They find his caretaker's uniform.
Not discarded, though. Neatly folded, placed on a stretcher.
Perfectly folded, like a deliberate act, and on top of the uniform.
A hospital bracelet, like the kind patients wear.
But the name tag, it says Daniel Grover. And the admission details.
It says eternal shift.
Eternal shift. What does that even mean? It's so loaded.
It feels symbolic, obviously. Folding the uniform. Is that him resigning? Saying, I'm done with this role?
Could be. Or maybe shedding his identity, preparing for something else. But the bracelet, eternal shift. That sounds like permanence.
Like his job there never ends now. He's permanently on duty.
Or maybe his shift has transitioned into something else entirely. Something unending, tied to the sanatorium forever. It suggests he didn't just leave, he was admitted. Absorbed.
Become part of the place. Part of the darkness, maybe. Why leave those things, though? The uniform, the bracelet, so neatly arranged.
It feels like a message. Or maybe a final piece of ritual. Acceptance, perhaps. Or a signifier of his new status. It adds this tangible, creepy punctuation mark to his disappearance.
So we circle back to the main question. Was Daniel Grover experiencing a profound mental health crisis, the isolation and the building's atmosphere creating these hallucinations?
That's entirely possible. A tragic case of psychological breakdown in a deeply unnerving environment.
Or did he stumble onto something real? Something paranormal that resides in Hollow Creek? Those whispers, the figures, Clara, were they external forces?
And if they were, what were they? Ghosts. Some kind of entity tied to the location's suffering. And what exactly happened to him? What is the payment? What does the eternal shift truly entail?
We just don't know. The evidence is suggestive, but it stops short of proof either way.
It's the ambiguity that makes it so chilling. You can build a case for either explanation, and neither one feels entirely complete. The way the rational and the possibly supernatural are woven together in his account, it's deeply unsettling.
That final image, the folded uniform, the bracelet promising an eternal shift, it really lingers, doesn't it? It paints his picture of, well, a fate that's maybe worse than just disappearing.
It suggests a transformation, a terrifying kind of permanence.
So think about this as we wrap up. The whispers, the shadows, Clara's unnerving gaze, this idea of an eternal shift, it creates this disturbing loop. If these forces, real or imagined, consumed Daniel Grover, could it happen again?
Is his fate somehow cyclical? Is the sanatorium itself waiting for the next caretaker, the next person to step onto that eternal shift?
It leaves you wondering about the echoes in places like Hollow Creek, and whether some doors, once open, can ever truly be closed. Something to think about.